I just want to use this thought. Yours for the asking. Yours for the asking. Jesus said, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. And then he said, and when you do ask, believe it, he said, you ask amiss. That is, without faith or without believing, and you don't get anything. You know, kids just worry you to death sometimes, grandkids and kids, you know, kids. Well, some of their ways. I want this, I want that, I want this, and they don't. One minute it's this, and another minute it's something else, you know. One of our grandkids here a while back found a toy he wanted, and I think it was Pidge, bought it for him, and he said, I want two of them. She didn't get the two, of course, and they wanted all of them. Amen. But when you ask, first of all, let there be a need. And qualify that need. Amen. Am I doing all right? Qualify that need. You know, a lot of times you think you need something. You know, whatever. Car, home, job, wife, husband. Qualify that need. You might be like that dog that chased the car. What if he caught it? What would he do with it? Amen. Qualify the need. Do I really need this? Would this be best for me and my family? Would this be best for the kingdom of God? That's what I mean by qualifying the need. And if it's really a need, take it to the Lord. I mean, He can handle it. There's nothing too hard for God. Now, I opened my mouth real wide Sunday and stuck my foot in it. Now, first I told a story of how it was when I first started preaching. And I was called to preach in an open Bible conference, and some of them old fellows sat behind me, and I said something, they hollered, chapter and verse. And I didn't have chapter and verse for what I was saying. In the Sunday school class Sunday, I mentioned the way I quoted it was, any two agree on earth touching heaven. Sister Rhonda came up after church, Rhonda Yosemite. She said, chapter and verse. It's not exactly like that. I finally made a mistake. After all these years, I said it wrong. But it does say, any two on earth touching anything, your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, will answer and do according to the request. So I was wrong, but I think it ought to read that way. Like the fellow who said, the Bible says, women obey your husbands, and someone said, it don't say that. He said, it should. But what I'm talking about tonight is asking God in faith, believing. Now, it's easier said than done sometimes, Brother Joe. You can't do it unless you live accordingly. I mean, you can just ask and ask and ask, but unless you live accordingly, you need not expect our Heavenly Father to move and answer that request. Amen. But Jesus said many things to many people. I want to call to your attention some of them. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. I do not really believe that he was expecting anyone to move a literal mountain, other than he went to the utter extreme to let you know all things are possible with God if you can ask and believe. Now, the reason I said qualify your request. Why would you want to move the mountain? Oh, one lady wanted to move because she couldn't see the sun come up in the morning. It was between her house and the sunrise. And she said, Lord, I want you to move that mountain. And she opened her eyes and it was still there. And she said, just as I expected. But another fellow had a reason, and he prayed that the mountain would be moved. He prayed earnestly. And the next morning he awoke to see a big machinery coming in, and they literally moved that mountain to another place. Maybe it was an answer to prayer, maybe it wasn't. But whatever you think, all things are possible to them that believe. One place, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, it's easier for a camel to go through that, which he can't do it, can he? Not as far as I can tell. However, the next verse said, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. I mean, he's saying God could put that camel through there. Amen. I don't see how. I don't know how. But I don't know how God does a lot of other things either. I don't know how he can heal a diabetic, but it's been done. I don't know how he can cause a cancer to fall off. And we've seen that. We didn't see it fall off, but we saw the results 1 week later after one had been carried for 12 years. Hallelujah. We've had enough miracles to let us know that God is still on the throne. If I hadn't seen or heard of one. Sister Billingsley, say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I hadn't seen or heard of one. She played me a song tonight that she sung on her tape recorder. Pretty good, too. I want you to know. Now, you might say, well, she's still got a little problem. She has, but not like she had. I mean, I'm not going to question but what God has moved in her life. Praise the Lord. Will you praise Him? Hallelujah. Just get in your mind, nothing is too hard for God. Now, James said the prayer of a righteous man. That does not only apply to the masculine gender, not only to men, in any conversation until the last 15 years. If you're referring to anyone, unknown gender, you refer to it in the masculine sense. But the last 15 years or so, since women's lips started in, then some of them won't even refer to God in the masculine. They want to call him a Ms. or something, you know. But, well, God's not masculine in the sense of my human physique, except in Jesus Christ. He was a man. Before he was a man, he was a spirit, neither male nor female. But you refer to him, being superior, you refer to him in the masculine gender. But the same applies here, the prayer of a righteous man. That's all right to use for women too, because God answers women's prayers as well as he does men's prayers. The fact that it said man is beside the point. It's all that men would pray everywhere. Women too. Praise God. But the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What would be the flip side of that? The prayer of a righteous man, but the prayer of an unrighteous man don't amount to much. If we're not getting our prayers through as we should, maybe again we ought to see if we qualify. We ought to see, are we coming to God right? What does he hear or what does he see before he hears our prayers? Envy, jealousy, malice, hatred, emulation, strife, worldliness of some sort or another, whatever it is. You know, all of this God sees along with hearing our prayers. And I think that we need to approach the throne of grace just as humble as we can. In fact, way back in the old scripture, 1 Chronicles 7, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have not always had my prayers answered every time I pray. I am not going to condemn myself for that unless there's something wrong in my life. I must always pray according to the will of God. I must pray for the advancement of the church, for the good of the church. If we look at it selfishly, none of our loved ones would die. If it was 129, we'd still want them to live. If we could bestow the gifts of healing upon them, we would never let any of them go. After they're gone, we realize that it's best sometimes that the Lord has called them away. But there's something about this. We want the blessings on me and mine, and me and my wife, and my son Joe and his wife, and us four, and sometimes no more. But heal me and mine. Bless me and mine. But did you ever notice that most of miraculous things that happens among the weaker ones or the new ones, and sometimes even sinner people? Right. Miracles are performed in their lives. In Gary and Brenda's church, Gary testified here a while back that a man brought his baby. What was the problem? Any of you remember? Crippled or something? Something severe. Clubfoot, I believe. And he brought it to be prayed for, and God straightened it out just overnight, was a testimony, I believe. This is a sinner man's child. And the testimony has gone over to DeWitt, and they're going to have a revival right away. And this testimony alone may help to see a revival come to DeWitt. Now, if it just happened to one of the saints' kids, it had been wonderful, it had been good. But this will have more bearing through the community than it would if it was in the walls of the little Pentecostal church and not outside. I'm not saying that we're not to be prayed for and that God don't heal saints or saints' kids. That's not what I'm saying. But I tell you what this healing and miracle business is for. It's not really for me and it's not really for you so much as it is for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So when we pray, we should not pray selfishly. We should be happy. I can't say just, because I don't think that would quite be right. We should be almost as happy when somebody else's child gets healed as we are when mine gets healed. We should be almost as happy when somebody else's loved one receives the Holy Ghost as we are when my loved ones receive the Holy Ghost. But you see, we're not always right to that place. I have seen people that never work in an altar until some of their kinfolks come to the altar. That's right. Now, I admit, it stirs you more when your loved ones that you've been praying for and work, but we should not reserve our prayers until our loved ones or our close friends comes only. If we'll pray for the others, who knows? Your own loved ones might be coming. That's like visitation. You may work all day long visiting and knocking doors and trying to get somebody to come to church. And not a one may not. They may not show up. But we've seen it over and over again. God honors that, and He puts it in the mind of some hungry soul to make their way to the church uninvited. Uninvited. But God can do more than we can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, if we have faith and doubt not." I run into doubt, it's as big and strong as a caterpillar. I can pray easily. I've learned how to pray to an extent, but I've not ever learned how to really touch God. You don't learn these things. Billadale once, and I love to hear Billadale sing, but he's got a lot to learn about God. I love him as a boy, and I love him as a singer. But he just soon go to a charismatic church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church. He don't make any difference, just so he can sing. And once he said, "If I can get me a long mic cord, and I can get out among the congregation," he said, "I can get them going." Bill, that's not what you want. My ambition is not to make you shout. I know how to make some people shout. Some people I can get to shout if I'll tell a few healing stories that happened. Some people I get to shout if I speed it up and talk a little faster, if I do a little shouting myself. I mean, we know how to do that if we want to rely on our own understanding. But if there's anything to shout over, it's the truth of God's holy word. The word of God's brought me to my feet. It's made me shout, caused me to dance. It's also thrown me flat on the floor with my face buried in the carpet with tears running down my eyes just to come to knowledge of what God's word is and what it says. Hallelujah. This machine doubt that gets in our way. Most usually because we use reason too much. We reason ourselves out of the blessings of God. Like the person, this is an old story, but it's all right. You sing the same songs over and over, and you testify the same thing. So I'm going to use my stories when I want to. And don't none of you threaten runoff. But the story is that the man was out of work, and his shoes was worn and scuffled, and his hair was long, and his clothes were tattered, and he was on the streets. And, of course, that's not the way to seek work. You do the best you can. If it's blue jeans or overalls, clean them up and press them out the best you can and fix your hair the best you can and look presentable if you're going out looking for a job. But this man did everything but that. And then he met a man on the streets. This is a story. And the man asked him what was his problem. He looks so gloomy. And he said, I have a family. I do not have a job. I don't have food on the table. And he said, I tell you what, you're not going to get a job looking like you look. I'm going to write you out a check. This man was wealthy. A check for $1,000. You go get your hair cut, buy you some new shoes, buy you some new clothes, buy some food for the family, and then you go apply for work. And a week later, he met the same man, still with long hair, shaggy, still with dirty clothes, still with scuffed up shoes. And he said to him, I gave you $1,000. How come you're still in this mess? Well, he said, I looked at that check and said, I appreciate it, sir, but I knew the bank wouldn't cash that check for me. So I still got it. And the man said, why, you fool, they don't care about you. It's my name on that check that counts. You take it in there and present it. All you'll have to do is identify yourself that you're this man. But my name on there assures you $1,000. And that's the way it is about the things of God. If we could get in our head, it's not because of our singing and our eloquent speech or any of these things, but it's because of the name of Jesus and the price that was paid that we can go to the bank of heaven and say, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can believe that he was buried and come forth from the dead, then it looks like you could believe that he can do all things. We, I should have said. Bless the Lord. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, there's the problem again, if thou canst believe. Keep yourself in a spiritual atmosphere as much as possible. Go to church as regular as you can. Pray without ceasing. Avoid and shun the things that would be of the world that would contaminate you and bring you down. I mean, keep yourself pure. That's what Paul told Timothy. Keep yourself pure. He's talking about spiritual things. You know, the next verse says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and that often infirmities. But you just keep in mind that verse above that said, be not partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Then he used the natural remedy, which was and is used, of drinking wine or grape juice for our stomach's sake. But that's really not what he's talking about, because the following verse after that says, some men's sins go on before them and other men's sins follow along after them. What the message is really saying, keep yourself pure, not physically, but spiritually. To where when you ask, in 1 John, there's a scripture that says, if you ask, your heart don't condemn you. That old monster heart. You ask something about that time, you go, boom, 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 boom. Because something you've been saying, something you've been doing, suddenly condemns you and you can't get your prayer through. You say, how you know? Because I've been there too. And then it drives you to your face before God and say, Lord, I've been wrong. If not wrong in deeds, I've been wrong in attitude. Been wrong in spirit. And so many are wrong. Some people that scream holiness all the time. And I believe in holiness. Every Pentecostal person in the world that's walking with God believes in holiness. We sometimes disagree on the natural things and what pertains to holiness and what doesn't. For instance, pick on Brother Mark again tonight. He's got on his short sleeves tonight, but he wasn't expecting to preach. But that's not a sin. It's not exactly ethical, and he's heard me say that before, and especially if he's going to take active part in the church. But ethics is one thing and sin is another. I would prefer he had on long sleeves in the house of God. He knows that. I'm not getting on to him. If he don't want to, he still has sin. God going against us what we like. And that's the likeness. But in fact, the same way, it just grinds me to death for you women to come to church. I'm talking about above teenager, above less than teenager. Well, your hair dragging all the way down your back and look to me like you're too lazy to fix it. Anybody got that way tonight? But again, that's more an ethical thing and while looking presentable and looking nice for Jesus. Looking nice for Jesus. Looking nice for Jesus. Hallelujah. Same way with gum boots. I don't think it'd be any sin for me to wear gum boots to church. You know what gum boots are? Old rubber boots. I don't think it'd be a sin for me to wear gum boots to church and preach them, but you'd pardon me if you could. Find out how. I don't think it'd be a sin, but it sure wouldn't be very ethical. And sometimes we get this cross between which is ethics and which is holiness. But we all believe in holiness. We do believe in holiness. But I'm going to tell you something. Some people that scream holiness the loudest, and they're talking about hairdos and type of clothes and way you fix your hair and video and television and you name it. Go on down the list. Holy, 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 holy. And they have such a nasty spirit. I teased Brother Lumpkin after a conference he preached on, and it was a good sermon. We got it, I believe, on bad or nasty spirits. I mean, he really... In fact, I went to him afterward, and I said, Brother Lumpkin, that was a great sermon, but you almost got a bad spirit preaching against bad spirits. I mean, he got red-faced, and he got with it, and he told some of the preachers that they had bad spirits. And he almost got one himself telling them about it, you know. I mean, we can call fire an anointing if we're not careful. In fact, Jerry Stoner was preaching here for us one time. I had him on the radio, and he's not really a fireball, but a Greek Orthodox man that used to work close to Grover Merrill service station. And he came into the station, and the radio was on, and old Jerry was just preaching away, and he said, what's he mad about? He thought a fellow talked fast and loud and hard is mad about something. But Jesus teaches us to believe what we're asking for. And keep this in mind. Whatever you can't ask anything too big if you live accordingly. Everybody say, praise the Lord. For verily I say unto you, Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Pump, 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 pump. You see, we tackle some things. You say, well, what are we going to do about it? Now, if the need is there, it's sickness, it's blindness, it's crippled, whatever. Don't put any limit on what God can do. If the need is there, get yourself in a position to ask and believe. Now, let me tell you before we leave tonight. One time, the disciples tried to heal a child. And they were unable to cast this devil out of the child. They brought him to Jesus, and he just simply did it. He just did it. And they said, how come? And why? We tried. We could not do it. You performed. Or someone asked the question, why could your disciples not do this? And you've done it. Why? He didn't ridicule the disciples. Right. He did not say anything harmful about them. But he gave us a lesson. This type cometh forth only by fasting and prayer. Which gives us a hint that some things we just seemingly can't believe for unless we conquer ourselves and get ourselves under subjection. That's what fasting is all about, really. It's not buying anything from God. God doesn't care if you eat or don't eat, as far as that's concerned. Other than He wants us to conquer our flesh, sometimes to overcome our appetite, which is about the hardest thing to overcome. Believe me, I know. If you overcome that, you can just about... That's kind of like James said about the tongue. He said that tongue is that... That's that little devil behind the pearly white gate, you know. That little red devil. If you can control that tongue, he said you can control the whole body. And it's the same way about this fasting. Is to get ourselves under control to where we can believe God. Sometimes we almost have to put ourselves in a position that we have to believe God. No other way out. Say to a mountain, if you don't doubt it, But it'd take a lot of prayer and fasting for me to pray for a big old mountain, literal mountain to move. But I guess we all have mountains in our life of a different type. And sometimes it takes a lot of faith to move those. I'm gonna quit in just a minute, sure enough. He said to the woman, "Thy faith has made thee whole." You know what she said? "If I can touch but the hem of his garment, I know that I will then be made whole." So I'm saying, you can have it. Ask for it. You can have it for the asking. If you come the Bible way. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Let's stand together, would you? Let's stand together.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Worship God.
Then really better.
Hallelujah.
Then your life will never be the same.
Only one thing. Hallelujah.
Just believe when you call on his name.
Hebrews 11, 5 or 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is. You got to believe that he exists. You also must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we have taught so much on repentance and baptism that very few people doubt but what when they repent and they're baptized that their sins are remitted. I believe it myself. And most everybody comes crying, weeping, repenting, and want to go in the water to be baptized. That their sins... I've heard them say, "I feel so clean, I feel so clean, I feel so good." That's fine. Why can't we believe for the rest of it? "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Old doubt runs up. He'll say, doubt will say, "That's not God. That's you. You're doing that. You're just carried away. You're just all mixed up." And I say, "Oh God, give them such an overflowing experience that
Hallelujah.
They'd blow up if they try to stop it from flowing." Hallelujah. Touching Jesus. Sing it again.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes.
If
Hallelujah.
Your life will never be the same.
Oh,
there is only one way to touch Him.
Amen. Just believe
when you call.
Why don't we come down here closer together and all unite together in prayer tonight? Pray for more faith. Pray for the move of God. Pray for mountains in our own lives to be moved. Whatever the need is, call on the Lord. Lord God Almighty.